blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sava. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So a reminder that the Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What would you like to look at this morning?
I was catching my peripheral vision here.
Well, the workshop yesterday was a lot of fun on the body, and I saw something that had been, it's been there, and I've been looking at it sort of on my peripheral vision for a long time, and yesterday it just was front and center. And it was around eating.
It was around eating?
Eating.
Yes.
And the quantity of food and the how I eat was what was up. I feel like the what that I eat is okay, is on okay ground. That's not what was up to be really, you know, kind of looked at, but the how.
The how of eating.
Mm-hmm. And so when I was, the very last exercise was to have a behavior change commitment. And so, you know, for years, the encouragement, even in writing there, is to put down one's utensil between thighs. And so that's what dropped in as my behavior change. And immediately it was like, I can't do that. And it just made me laugh that something so simple would be so obvious. The conditioning would just like so obviously say, oh, I can't do that. You know, so
that's totally impossible to put the fork down between thighs.
Yeah. There's a really strong identity from way little bitty child that I'm a fast eater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's behavior. It's eating very fast. Mm-hmm. And so I just, I'm just going to do that. That's my behavior change commitment.
So your commitment after the workshop yesterday on caring for the body is to actually put the fork or the utensil down between bites. And enormous resistance arose. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there's an identity who her whole thing is being a fast eater.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that she has to, you know, that identity can't be eating, sitting there eating, because that requires to do something that's just completely the antithesis of being a fast eater.
Yeah, what's dropping in as you're reflecting that is that there's this sort of an unholy alliance between fast eater and big eater.
Uh-huh.
You know, the quantity and the speed are somehow real, really like this. Because, of course, the faster you eat, the more you can.
The longer the period of time. Together. Yes,
yeah.
It's the shovel effect.
It's the shovel effect. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it just has implications for this body, for this, because the attitude of mine that I think the guided imagery also asked about was what would be the tone of voice, what would be the all that, was just gentle and just sort of relaxed and confident that there's plenty, there's enough of, all of that. Which again, now that I say that, going back to itty bitty child, I can see where that wasn't the youngest of five kids. I really did kind of have to get in there and fight for in some way, for the good stuff. And so so there's the connection there, and so to have that attitude of mind feels really... Oh, I know, I was going to say the implication for that and for the body, but the implication for the community, for, in really, way, the whole, the planet, because it's a seamless... What am I trying to say? I'm sure there's a saying, a practice saying about this that's eluding me right now. But anyway, the impact is just everything. If I eat slower, eat less, it's the impact is everything.
Yeah, and it's really the process that what you said is bringing kindness and care to the body. It wouldn't really mean it. Wouldn't have to be so much a particular action, maybe, but just bringing that kindness present. I mean, one can be putting a fork down between bites and be doing that in a really unkind way as well.
That's a good point.
And so it's that wanting to put the fork down, that wanting to contribute to the community, that wanting to contribute to the world is coming from a place of care and kindness, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's the intention that is wanting to be there, and what that action is, that behavior change commitment. I mean, the thing I love about that whole principle of it can't be a change in conscience without a change in behavior, is that it is like the stick in the spokes of the wheel, just stops that whole process, the whole karmic process, which in this case is fast, 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 more, and it just puts a little kink in that system, or at least that's the intention, which in a sense is, it may not sound like that's a gentle, kind sort of move, but really for the being, it so is.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, I just saw the correlation between that and just urgency in all other areas that conditioning is just the favorite of conditioning to get us to be rushing around doing things, and how it, that's how it shows up in eating.
Yeah.
That kind of fast eating, that kind of shoveling in the food.
Sure.
Just along those lines, I really enjoyed the workshop yesterday too. I thought it'd be very helpful. And I was looking at a process that happens with me where if I get in fog conditioning for an extended period of time, then I end up not exercising. And that's kind of happened over the past few months. I got sick right after our New Year's retreat, and then I had stomach problems for 6 or 8 weeks. And somehow in there, I got an idea, which is a real common, I think it's an India type 5, scarcity sort of a thing. There's a scarcity of resources. Somehow I can't get caught up in terms with the energy in my body and feeling good and feeling rested. And so I can't exercise. And it's just, boy, it really doesn't take care of me. And I think that's why there's a behind in the background campaign to make that seem real. Because boy, it has a huge impact on my life if I'm not exercising.
To make it seem real that you can't get into the exercise until you get caught up with the energy and the feeling good with the body and being have the body in just the right place.
Yeah, well, it's even deeper than that. It's I'm worn out. I can't keep up. I'm not sleeping well also, which I think is a fact, but. It's always hard to know about these things, but it sure seems like it. And so that feeds into it too. And so there's this, it's just a basic worldview, I don't have what I need, which that's what makes me think of the Yin. Because Yin Type 5, that's typical, it's scarcity of resources, and and I kind of have to hoard energy and all this other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And what exercising does is it moves the energy.
Right.
And it's funny, because I heard a recording several days ago where, I mean, it's obvious, but, you know, it's there's this belief that says exercise expends energy, but it doesn't. It produces energy. Mm-hmm. And that's so my experience. But I forget that when I get caught in that worldview.
And that was what was arising for me, is that, you know, you can go to the energy bank by exercising.
For sure.
And, you know, and fill those resources in it. And again, it can be through an act, you know, in an attitude of kindness for the body. And it doesn't have to be like conditioning. That was like, you know, full on tear into exercise, you know. You know, just really driving the body.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah, but to approach it with, you know, just the beginning of, well, we're going to just see what exercise, how it affects the energy and how it affects the body.
Yeah, and when I was seeing as you were saying that, and I was looking at this a lot yesterday in the workshop, you know, as always, it's not what, it's how. And so it's not so much, it really isn't so much the exercise,
mm-hmm.
it's whether or not I'm in a relationship with conditioned mind, of course, because that's where the energy actually goes, you know, if there's a connection there. Because I mean, I could not exercise, I've had this experience lots of times, and feel very energized. And so, but what the exercise feels like it does is, it leaves conditioning behind. Like we did a couple of really fun exercises yesterday, and a lot of what I heard people saying was, boy, there just wasn't room for the voices, you know, while it was going on. And it feels like it has kind of that element, but it really is an outlook at how, because I could do it as it should, and I would be in relationship with conditioned mind. I could do it from, like, and I want to, it's not considering the body, which is what the mind wants instead of what the body wants. You know, things like that, and all those are in relationship with conditioned mind, and all those are energy draws into conditioning. There's that one place in the middle where it's centered, basically, where it isn't coming from a relationship with conditioned mind, and so the energy is really there and available. And it just so happens with exercise, it gives a format for it to be kind of expressed that's really simple and really easy to do.
Yeah, it just really allows the body to express what it loves to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as it does that, there's, as you say, there's just no room for the conditioned voices.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said a little bit about it's what the body loves to move, because that really came up yesterday too, and that's, I'd forgotten that, and that's really a part of the experience too, because like yesterday morning, you know, I knew the workshop was coming, and so there was a lot of tension on, kind of really want to take care of the body today because we're doing a body workshop. And so I exercised in the morning, right? And I've been exercising on and off, but not consistently, so it wasn't completely unusual, but in recent times, historically, I've gotten a ton of exercise in my life, but most recently, not so much, but I exercised, and then again this morning, you know, I really feel powerfully motivated to do it after the experience yesterday. And boy, the body just loves it. And it's just like, I mean, it can't really talk, but if it could, it would be saying, oh boy, let's do that some more. As soon as we get rested up, let's go do that some more. You know, and it relaxes. It helps with tension and stress. It really helps with identification and disidentification. It's just, everything is good about it. And so, you know, that's why I know the conditioning tries to tweak it so that it's not happening.
Yeah. It's got a lot invested in the body just staying tight and immobile.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can just say from my own experience, you can see how it is an invitation to life to just move it and to relax it and to move it joyfully, because it feels good.
It does.
You know, and it does. It just removes that identification just very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'll just say one more thing that, you know, a way of talking about a new relationship with a body, I was thinking yesterday is like a compassionate coach.
A compassionate coach.
Who can really kind of see the big picture, because it is easy for me to slide off into the overdoing it. Mm-hmm. And from a kind of objective point of view, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this cycle that happens where like it builds and builds and builds and builds. I'm doing more and more and more and more and more. And then it's just too much. Mm-hmm. And then there's a crash. I think that's probably what happened right after New Year's, because before that, I could just run for miles and miles and miles and miles. I was in excellent shape, but it's just too much.
Yeah.
And then it crashes, and then I have to kind of start all over, and it goes like that.
Yeah.
And just like what I think of as a compassionate coach is, having the big picture, understanding how process works and how conditioning works, and no, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it in a way that really works the body long term. And let's understand that, it goes up and down, mm-hmm. and the needs change, and like that too. And so that's what I want to practice.
And just really bringing a spirit of inquiry into the whole realm of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it might be also a great place to have a recording.
Yeah, I've got a bazillion stuff on.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all day yesterday. And I have lots of recordings on the topic.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because if I'm not exercising, they're bombarding me, with these, because I'm uh-huh. listening to the recordings all the time and talk about how important it is to stretch and exercise.
I just wondered if there's one with the compassionate coach.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Running along with you, just 3 miles.
Yeah, making sure that part gets in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I'll go along with the theme of the body workshop yesterday. What was reinforced for me is an awareness that particularly there was a question about what messages did you get about the body when you were young and in your family of origin. And I looked at that and I thought, none.
Messages about the body.
We didn't talk about that. It just wasn't...
Which was a big message right there.
Was a huge message, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just taken for granted and not acknowledged. And I realized, in spite of having a couple of big physical breakdowns, if you will, that really caught my attention, as soon as they were over, I was off and running again. So I really got the message strong yesterday. Number one, I'm so grateful for the body.
Mm-hmm.
So incredibly grateful now that I'm actually having an impetus to look and to see what all is available through the body, saying it's our instrument and aperture, all of life, how it can come in through the body, and we can experience life. And that was the one big thing. My commitment is to awareness. And another exercise that made me realize the lack of awareness was we were supposed to make a stop every 10 minutes and notice the sensation. And what if there were any voices about it, the thing would go off and I wouldn't know where to find the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm, because of that ignoring the body thing.
Yeah.
So, it was really big. I didn't learn anything that I didn't sort of know, but it really all just really came in and landed yesterday in both the appreciation and the need, not the need, the desire to bring that more into my conscious, compassionate awareness, and the kindness element was a big part of it too.
So it just really increased your desire to bring that awareness of the body
mm-hmm.
into and bring that into conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it wasn't talking, you didn't already know these things, but somehow there was just more willingness there, and it was like the time was right to just, bring this information in.
And as you said that, I just got a flash of insight that the reason that all was landed yesterday is because that's already in progress.
Oh, that's so
that's all of those practices and awarenesses are already being folded in, and I didn't really even see that until you said that, because I'm thinking about what's lacking.
Yeah.
And because those practices of paying more attention and getting my body moving and being aware of what the body's doing and feeling it and enjoying it, it's all already begun. I mean,
yeah,
it's always been going on, but the awareness with it has already begun, and that's what helped all that awareness yesterday really stick.
Yeah, it wasn't like totally new information. That but it was like, oh my gosh, you know, there was already this whole process in place of paying attention to the body, and it was just like, okay.
Yeah, but I actually didn't see that yesterday, that's why it was impactful. I was kind of seeing it, this is what I need to do, but I didn't see this is what I'm already
doing,
and it's moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. That's what allowed me to,
Yeah, and as you say that, what it just, what that does is move it to right here and now.
Absolutely.
Rather than some future, you know, I've got to do this and the goal that you're going to do for the body, and then just to come to that awareness that you're already doing it, and just to be present to what is already happening.
Yes, yes, and it's taken off, it's been taken off the should list, and it's on the this is what I want list, and this is what I am doing because this is what I want to do list.
Yeah, just on the acknowledgement list.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Me too. I thought the workshop yesterday was wonderful. The timing was perfect and all of that. And so I was looking at a couple of things the whole thing about kindness to the body and attention to the body, I've talked about this a little bit before in group, but my history with my body, with one or two exceptions, has been that it's been amazingly healthy, so I've been able to take it for granted. And then over the last year or so have partly because of just getting older and realizing it isn't always going to be like that, have really started to bring attention to it and appreciation. And so part of what was so lovely about the workshop was just all the time we spent appreciating this thing that's so easy to just live your whole life in and never notice. Really? Isn't that astounding?
To have an entire day to devote to giving attention to this vehicle that's with us every moment.
And so part of what's happened lately too is I've had this interesting workshop around my wrist, which has tendonitis, and so I've been going to a therapist, and so a couple of things. One is I've been kind of astounded at my patience around this. I mean, it's a long-term process to deal with tendonitis, and I'm sort of surprised I'm not more impatient with this. It's just supposed to get better. Because that's usually had been my attitude about my body. It's just supposed to get better, because it's supposed to be healthy, and this is taking time. But I'm actually finding it kind of fascinating, and watching the very slow progress. And it's fun because I get to play with all these toys, which you have to do to get the thing moving again. And so it's actually become something I look forward to going to, and I can see improvement. I can see sort of weaning myself off the splint and all that kind of stuff, and it's just an interesting relationship. It feels like part of that new relationship, that it's demanded a kind of attention and a kind of willingness to be patient and to work with that I haven't had to have before. Right. And I've been grateful that seems to be there.
Right. Could you say that maybe you're just engaged in the process of caring for the body, and there's not like that drive to just have some kind of goal at the end, but you're just really with it?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm in transition to that. And it's funny, the last month or so, I've suddenly had a very sore heel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, conditioning has all kinds of messages about I am now, You know, it's like when you take the car in and it's 10 years old and say, it's time for a new one, you know, past repair time. It's sort of that. Anyway, so now I have a sore heel. So what I noticed last night, though, was that if I stretch my foot, it doesn't hurt so much. And so my behavior commitment was, when I get up in the morning, I say to the body, good morning, body. Is there anything in particular you'd like to do today? Because normally I just tell my body what we're doing. And today it said, I want to do those foot exercises we did with Krista at New Year's. Remember she had a whole work through your body thing. And so this morning I found on my recorder where I recorded that. And so I'm going to go home and do that. And if I can bring the same kind of attitude to that, it just feels like another opportunity to work with this body. Not just to get it working again, but to work with the body for that process in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to access the wisdom of the body and to see so your new commitment to ask every morning, what would you like, body?
Yeah.
And to get, you know, a really concrete answer this morning, something that could be done and something you've already seen that does make the heel feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I suspect, and it would be something you get to watch, but everything responds to love. So it'll be interesting to see the response of the body as you go through and asking it each morning what it needs or wants. And
yeah.
Just to,
yeah, I agree. And hearing you reflect that, I'm really getting what a different orientation that is for me with my body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a whole different thing to ask it and then to wait.
And to wait. Really. That's key, to wait, even to ask the question and have the patience to wait for an answer.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, June.
Yes, yesterday.
National Body Day. It was.
And the timing was great. There's so much of what I really, want to say is, a couple of days before yesterday's workshop, I was looking at something that I struggled with for as long as I can remember. And it's about indulgence, being indulgent, kind of losing consciousness and eating too much or something. And I got a glimpse, and I could feel it, and it was real. It was a difference. I've always thought that the antidote to indulgence was self-discipline. But not compassionate self-discipline, it was self-discipline. And so there's just been that struggle. It's never worked. It was never going to work. And what I got, what I can feel right now, is that the antidote to indulgence is generosity. It makes me cry. And generosity from the mentor, from the center, from life. And the behavior change is to treat myself as I would treat my sister if she needed help. And that, to me, that just says it all.
So having it, this awareness arise yesterday of the antidote for indulgence is generosity. And just when that arose, just feeling that, it sounds like, and the very marrow of your bones is that was so, that was true, to really give yourself the same kind of generosity that you would give your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that sounds like a really fun workshop yesterday. And interestingly, I was actually involved in that workshop. But the I was there to do it. I was just really identified all day yesterday. So it was a real the workshop was incredible, and I could see that it was incredible, and I knew that it was incredible, and I knew that people would be talking about how incredible it was this morning, and I was just completely identified, you know. It was just, you know, I had food poisoning the night before, so it was like, I was up all but 1 hour, and then I had received guidance before that, and, you know, ego was just throwing its temper tantrum, and, The thing about it though is I woke up this morning blissful, just so happy, and what I recognized was through all of, you know, each one of those stages, like the guidance that ego went berserk with, the kind of food poisoning experience, the completely identified throughout the workshop experience, the kind of acting out of every conditioned behavior that I could think of after the workshop experience, which are so boring these days that they get squished down to like 20 minutes and they've all been acted out. And then waking up into bliss, what I realized was that there was just complete acceptance for all of that. Mm-hmm. That whole product, like every bit of that.
So there was the workshop.
That was my workshop.
Yeah.
I had a workshop on acceptance.
Yeah. Workshop on acceptance. Just complete acceptance for the guy that was identified
totally
through the whole workshop. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this morning, you know, when I got up, I always read the, there's the wonderful app for Transform Your Life book. Mm-hmm. And it has a little bit where you can type in, you know, your reflections on what's said. And this morning, and I won't be able to remember the way it's phrased, but the essence of today's was that in no two moments are the same. Like every moment is new. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up into this place of just openness and peacefulness and just love. Mm-hmm. And what came, and I read that, and it was just so clear that that is so true. Mm-hmm. That, you know, conditioning would love to set it up that, like, you know, because that was the experience, mm-hmm. now there's going to be, now I need to work, you know, really hard to not be identified and to, you know, there's going to be retribution from, you know, this and that, and yet what dropped in was this place of like, there is just always the new moment, and the new moment is always held and supported by the isness that is love, and it's just like it's like this inevitable place that will always end up in. It just felt like that, you know. This morning was just kind of like, wow, you know, almost like there's nothing to do with any of that. That whole kind of preceding thing or whatever.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with any of that except, it sounds like what you were practicing, hold it in acceptance.
Yeah.
And opening into the next moment that presents itself. What you're seeing is, you know, held in love.
Yes.
And that's what we keep getting to step into moment by moment.
It's amazing. And it's kind of neat to hear you reflect that back, because the reality of it was, I had no idea that it was being held in acceptance. I wasn't aware of that at the time. Yet there was a presence that was like, you know, mentoring and, you know, doing the best it could, you know, like with the two particular kind of more energetic exercises. You know, well, I was exhausted and I had cramps still, like the whole thing was, and yet there was a participation. And so I don't think I really didn't see that it was all of it was being held in. There is even like a point after the workshop where, you know, one of the conditioned behaviors is to basically go into a rage, you know, go a little nuts kind of thing, and that got acted out for a very short period of time. But again, there was no hatred of it. There was no identification with it. It was like, oh yeah, that's another layer of it. That's what, you know, it does when it's kind of going through its, you know, death throes or whatever it's doing. So it's amazing to reflect and see, wow, all of that was held in acceptance. And I don't think I was even aware that it was being held in acceptance.
It sounds like there was nobody there. There was no I there trying to practice acceptance.
Yeah.
But there was just the acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Just acceptance, which is there, and not until later were you able to see that was present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's two other little things. One is one piece from the workshop that actually was the one moment where everything kind of broke open and there was some happiness. On the particular call-in line that I was on, one person was had shared what song they had played. And it was brilliant. I would never have thought of it. It was a song from the 80s, and it was just excellent. And what dropped in at that moment was, it would be such a blast to have everybody anonymously submit their dancing playlists, and we could all just kind of tap into them, and it would just be so much fun, because, you know, I hadn't thought of that song, and yet it's like it takes me right back to being in the 80s. It's like, what a hoot that would be to dance to. And so that was the one thing that dropped in. The other is that I wanted to kind of just say publicly, to kind of get support on kind of the guidance as I had understood it, which kicked off, you know, such a reaction or whatever, was essentially, it was support really, or encouragement, or a really kind way of approaching something that, you know, I think we're all kind of looking at or aiming for, and certainly am working with it, is that place of acting from an absence of a self, but just simply acting from life, stepping into that place. And so that's kind of front and center right now in my practice. And that was the guidance that I was receiving support on. And so one, I just wanted to say that kind of publicly, you know, kind of to make sure life is aware. It's not.
Hey, life, I'm yeah. here and I'm waiting.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
And then the other thing about that was seeing that what dropped in this morning was that of course there was going to be that ego reaction, because what was being suggested was something that the I can't do. So the guidance, you know, so what's the encouragement is to step beyond a self and to talk about and to come from and to process around and kind of into a place that would have to be utter surrender of the self and just coming from the life orientation. And so the I that, you know, is so firmly in place, that is entrenched in its way of doing everything, that was the whole that was the identification. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
the identification that was arising yesterday. But yet you were saying that there was a tapping into life yesterday in mm-hmm. that acceptance process.
Yeah,
so that, you know, that
it's so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That was going on, and then the attention gets drawn to all the stuff that the tantrum.
That's right.
That the ego is having.
Yeah, tantrum's a great word for it.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm so happy you said that, because it's true. I hadn't seen it like that. The acceptance thing didn't drop until this morning, and I hadn't even seen that. Like, in a lot of ways, there was a tapping into a direct experience of mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. no matter what was arising. And then, of course, the attention was attending to the child who was having the tantrum, and, you know, or the identity formed in childhood was thrown at him. So, just a lot of fun. So it was a great workshop.
It was a great workshop, it sounds like. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jen. Really neat conversation this morning. And going back to now, I've sort of lost the comment. Something you said, it had the word love in it. That's what I remember. And then the thing about the antidote to indulgence yeah. being generosity yeah. felt like exactly the same. I can't remember how you phrased it. But, and those just really landed as what I feel like I've been looking at. And it's interesting. Let's see. So I have this brand new workshop around something that's been, I was recording about it and I heard myself say, I'm sure it's been here since before the beginning of beginningless time. Because in some ways it's what I've been working with since I came to practice. But assessment.
Assessment.
Mm-hmm. And what, very similarly to that last exchange, what I've noticed is that there's all this efforting that happens around even like working with assessment, right? So like it's within within working with that, there's just a ton of assessment. Mm-hmm. And then...
You mean in the way of how am I doing with the assessment?
How am I doing with the assessment? Yeah. And I mean, I had this really interesting, during the workshop yesterday, it just dropped in, like, so I got some really, really helpful two separate pieces of assistance with it on Tuesday. And I was all excited because it was very concrete. And, you know, and then yesterday I was like, interesting that I haven't done anything with that. You know, I mean, oh, it's like Tuesday night, so excited. I have this really particular practice that I'll probably do at some point. You know, and that's the form of resistance. It's yeah. just like, yeah, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But anyway, so, but... I mean, I just, with a great sense of humor, I just caught immediately how that was going to be assessed, uh-huh. right? But it was like, well, why would I assess that? Great, I saw it. Let's start now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So there would be an assessment of the fact that it got
shelved. I haven't done that.
Shelved, and,
done that.
Right, right.
And
then you just saw, well, I could just start it now. Don't have to go into that assessment story.
Yeah, yeah. So I did. This morning I transcribed the guidance and, you know. So, but what I see about it is that, as the conditioned version of practice happens, then there's practice happening all the time alongside it. It's just happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Yeah. And there are these, I think that's why the generosity and the love, and then that conversation we just had, isn't that funny? We just had it. Is like that, isn't it? Like every conversation we have in this room, we all have it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that there have been these amazing moments where it all just kind of happens, like mm-hmm. grace happens.
Yeah.
Over the last, I don't know, number of weeks, and the thing that's been fascinating about it is I've talked before about how I'm using that sleep app that. Will part of what it does, supposedly, I have no idea, like, you know, whether or not it really, I don't know what, if it's accurate, but supposedly it can track the quality of your sleep. Mm-hmm. And what's uncanny, and it's just fun to play with, is that every time after some significant thing like that happens, I wake up in the morning and it's 100%.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's going on in the sleeping? You know, just that it's almost like I want to get a video camera of myself, you know, in sleeping. Because other nights it's nowhere near 100%. And so just that sense, and the dreams are extraordinary. Uh-huh. I've had a series of dreams in those times where it truly feels like very clear. I can remember them perfectly, and like these things are healed in the dream.
Wow.
Hmm. Uh-huh. It's amazing.
So just seeing, I think what you're, if I understand what you're saying, that you're seeing how, in the way that the process of practice is going on continually.
Continually.
Continually, even though our attention is pulled to the, well, in your case, I'll call it to the assessment process.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, to what conditioning has to say and how, you know, short we are on, and everywhere, and everywhere. Mm-hmm. But indeed, that whole process is just going on.
It's just happening.
And when you're noticing that, when you might say that there becomes an awareness of that process, of that place where that process is happening continually, then there's you're investigating. But there may be some kind of alignment, even with the physical body, that like okay.
Yeah.
I'm in that place. I know that place. And in response, you know that there is maybe a deeper harmony with the body cycles, or you know.
Yeah. Thank you for reflecting that, because that is what has caught my attention. Funny enough, and I did talk about this one night in group. Of course, that the percent of sleep quality. What does conditioning want to do with that?
Exactly. Right. I was going to say assessment.
Exactly. Good, bad. But just the fact that it's so, I mean, 100, you know, and then like versus not 100 at all, it so catches my attention for exactly what you're saying. Like, wow, the mind-body connection, you know, that place where it's like the whole system is getting a different input in that place of, you know, the antidote to indulgence is generosity, the unconditional love, the that place we just talked about of the, you know, there is no good right way to practice.
Right.
There's just what is.
Yeah.
There's just what is, and we are that all the time.
We are that all the time.
And so I suspect what keeps happening is just these moments of dropping into that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, perhaps the whole body just relaxes and rests.
Right.
Just rests, truly rests. You know, it's not doing anything. Yeah. It's not trying to meet any standard. It's not...
Because truly, at that moment, we realize there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go.
I'm here. I might as well just relax.
And it's like a recognition of that. Like, almost like, of course, the whole, I don't know, system never, it's the word I always use, but I can't, I don't know, to mean like the holistic thing, you know, all is one. It's like the system knows that on some deep level, and it's like, I don't know, a clunky way to say it is, and there's a relief that it's no longer being watched or held to or pushed to or...
Yeah.
But it can just be left to be the perfection that it is.
Yeah. It's like putting down the reins.
Putting down the reins.
You know? Yeah, and just to realize that it's like what was spoken to earlier, you know, and just asking the body what it wants to do and just assessing that wisdom that's already there. And it's that way of just like letting go and assessing that what's already there, what's already in process, that wholeness, that wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of one other thing that came up in our pod yesterday of realizing what a huge asset the body is in awareness practice, because so people were talking about, you know, we've all been conditioned on some level to have it sort of, well, it's certainly a separated relationship. There's the mind and there's the body, and it's my body, as if it's not, it's my body, which is, so it's mine, it's personal, there's ownership, but it's not me. It's just mine. Like, my car is mine. My house is mine. You know? And so there's this very separated relationship with that. And that people were talking about how, like, we're even taught that as little kids. Like, we get sick, and that's a bother to people. Oh, geez. Now we have to deal with your body, you know? And so we grow up that way. And so now the body is something we got to deal with and manage and all this stuff. But that really seeing an awareness practice, wow, the body is such an asset because it's always here. It's always here. And that all those things that it's doing, like, it, there's, I don't even know how to say it, but, you know, it needs water, it needs food, it needs, you know, to use the facilities, it needs to sleep. That's so perfect because it interrupts that constant conditioned, that's what someone was saying, that constant conditioned I that has a program. And oh, geez, now I got to stop and feed it, you know, and give it water and rest it.
Right.
And how good that is, we have this, we have to be in the moment because we're living inside of something that is life and it is in the moment. Mm. And so how perfect that is that it's constantly interrupting that ego I loop of who I am and what I want to do and where I'm headed and all those things.
Absolutely. One can see the gift. It, that it is, to just, what someone yesterday referred to it, I think she said, a consecrated vessel that holds my consciousness.
Wow.
You know, and it is that brings us back here over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, even though the ego may so diligently try to have us live in it and off there in some place, and the body just keeps, you know, offering us this opportunity to come back now.
As you said that, it's like, I just saw it's a vehicle to be in this playground of physical existence.
Yes.
You know, it's like awareness. I always have these images of, like, you know, before we manifest here in this particular form, like, wherever we are, right? And then the awareness kind of parks itself into this, you know, like whoop, and then on it goes to the playground again in this, and it needs this. It needs this form in order to do that.
It does.
In order to play and smell and taste and touch and see and
Yes, and what a gift then to see the sacredness in all of the senses, and what a joy it is to hold, you know, experience them.
And just wow to yesterday's workshop. It was a stunner. it was just very moving and very timely to get to acknowledge what a hard time the body has when it's under the direction of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And what a miracle it is that life has shown us the only tool that is ever going to work to break that relationship, which is directing the attention. And part of that experience of the body under the direction of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that's really here for me to look at the moment is how conditioning is like a kind of metronome or something that messes with the body's rhythms to keep everything out of alignment with life force. So when I look at an experience of depression, it is an obsession with how I feel and an obsession with I don't have enough energy, how am I going to get enough energy to do whatever it is that I need to do? And then a kind of, you know, acting in these conditioned ways that throw everything out of alignment. And something, I read something a little while ago about kind of connections being discovered between jet lag and depression. and as that out of syncness in the body's rhythms, and it just really fits my experience. When I would hear people talking about experiences of depression who could really pinpoint when a period of depression began and ended, I would think, wow, they just sound so together with their depression, really, you know. It's really, you know, I don't know, like really kind of on top of it somehow. I never felt able to say, well, it began then, and oh, now I'm out of it. It was just so much more of a slowly catching on to that obsession with how I feel intensifying, and that obsession with getting enough energy, and it's all just arriving very with new clarity at the moment.
So a scene that you're watching, a process that starts that signals the onset of depression when there becomes a big focus on how you're feeling, and starting to back to assessment, starting to look at that and how to get more energy and to just see is that as the onset of depression, and realizing that ego is actually like messes with the metronome that's actually the natural rhythms of the body that are present. But actually, it's just such a good image. Yeah. Just kind of grabbing the metronome and just like stopping it or hitting it hard and getting it all out of whack.
Exactly, just making it go haywire in the place.
And yet, as we're talking this morning, just the realization too that there's another deeper metronome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's beyond the grasp of ego.
Right, and that's that's the paying attention part. I've talked about this a little bit before, but the power of recording and listening as a way of tuning into those rhythms, like a practice of listening to listen for the rhythms of the voice, mm-hmm. rather than listening for the meaning of the words, and listening through the night, and how that mm-hmm. is just there's an experience of kind of realigning the uh-huh. the rhythms.
So are you saying that you use the recorder and to just really pick up on the rhythm of your voice mm-hmm. on the recorder?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter so much the words, but just tuning into the rhythm of that voice, and it sounds like maybe words said in a soothing way or mm-hmm. a kind way, or you know, but just paying attention to that, and the words are not that important, but playing that during the night and checking into that somehow helps to keep in alignment with that rhythm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's you know what you know the guy was talking about, how it's so important in recording and listening for it to be in our own voice. That it's an interesting exploration that maybe there is something in that rhythm, that sound that just resonates with our particular being,
yeah.
and puts everything back in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does feel like it. It's part of, I heard the guide say something a few months ago, which was, it's impossible to be depressed while we're practicing recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in an ongoing exploration ever since to prove that to myself mm-hmm. through direct experience. And part of it is exactly that one of the stories of depression is that story of how much energy I have, and that it's very low energy and all of the meaning that goes with that. And then when I listen to a recording that this person has made from within that story and hear the life force in the voice, then there's a it's just like that, really experiencing directly that life force
mm-hmm.
while there's the story of you don't have any energy that just dispels mm-hmm. because of the reverberation.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but how the voices in the head aren't sound.
They don't have that reverberation, thank God. they don't have that same access to the vibration.
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that 3D
mm-hmm.
presence to them, even though the body responds to them as if they are
yeah.
a sound, that stimulus. But somehow the life force coming in through the sound of one's own voice
mm-hmm.
dispels the story of
mm-hmm.
you have no energy. And that's it. I can feel the power of that, because there's this almighty resistance to listening to recordings that I have made while I'm feeling depressed or having that experience of
mm-hmm.
low energy, because as soon as the sound comes in and I hear all the life force, there's not an assessing of is it up, is it, there's just a hearing life in it,
yeah.
And then that story is dispelled.
And then there's the possibility of dispelling the story of depression, which would be a big loss for the voices,
right.
to have that dispelled.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Thanks. I'll keep exploring and coming back and letting us know.
Thank you.
Thank you all.